I have in my heart to ask you to turn with me this evening to the Epistle to the Thessalonians, the first Epistle to the Thessalonians. I have in my heart to follow a few lines of truth that are found in this epistle. So we will be reading something from each of the five chapters. We begin with verse 3, the first epistle, first chapter. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Then verse 9. They themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm going to follow some simple lines that we have in this epistle, written really to newborn babes in Christ. And as we see progress in this epistle, we can see this babe growing. That's one line. The second line is the behavior of the great apostle amongst these newborn babes in Christ. He says that in the second chapter, how he carried himself on. The word behavior is mentioned in one of these verses, verse 10. We behaved ourselves among you. Much to learn from this great servant of Christ. And the third line, well known, I'm sure, to you all here, is that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in every chapter, not only of this first epistle, but of the second epistle as well. And so we'd just like to touch on these three lines of truth. Very simple, plain, fundamental. I know there are wonderful, deep truths in the epistles, but many of us are simple folk. You know, Abraham Lincoln said the Lord must have loved the common people so much because he made so many of them. And if the babes in Christ, the young, will get a hold of truths, then we are sure the rest of us will too. And so we're not going to begin way up high, but down on the level. And we can always go up. Now, as been well said by others, in this first epistle, we have the babe in Christ born. Conversion is spoken of, and Paul rightly describes it by three things that characterize them. He said, remembering your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. I believe the counterpart of that is given in the ninth verse. They turn to God from idols. Secondly, to serve the living and true God. And thirdly, to wait for his Son from heaven. And these are still three great fundamentals, aren't they? The work of faith. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. They that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The apostle went to this pioneer field, this pagan fields that were at Thessalonica, and preach the gospel. He says, our word came in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. The genuine work of God's Spirit and these souls, so that they turned to God from idols that were idol worshipers. They didn't turn from idols to God. They turned to God, the living and true God. I think there's a word in one of the minor prophets, I have heard him. What have I more to do with idols? The God of glory appeared to Abraham, the other side of the river, where the fathers were worshiping idols. God of glory called him up. That's what we have here, the living and true God. Faith laid hold in him. They turned to him. There was delivering power from the idols. And there was a labor of love. No work our soul to save. We're created unto good works. Grace to save. Not by works ours, but we're his workmanship. So there was a labor of love. The patience of hope. The apostle taught these new born babes in Christ to wait for his Son from heaven. That's the believer's hope. Never was. There is patience of hope, endurance, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, Christ, who is our hope? To Titus, looking for that blessed hope. Glory is superior to our great God and Savior. And so, then it was, they served the living God to wait for his Son from heaven. Looking for signs there are in connection with his coming to earth. Looking for himself. Yes. So faith, love, and hope. And by the way, this is a wonderful triplet often found in the Word of God. So that we won't spend more time because we want to get on and just touching each chapter here a bit. In the second chapter, we have something more. We can't look at the whole chapter, but to pick out a few things. Verse 7 says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. And being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you the gospel of God, and not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls. Because you were dear to us. Verse 2 tells how he labored night and day. And verse 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That you would walk worthy of God, would call you unto his kingdom and the glory. Some lovely things after this great apostle who brought the gospel, their aim to reach out to the regions beyond, bring the glad tidings. How does he behave amongst the newborn babes? Things we read here, he said he was gentle. As a nurse, nurse of your children, the nursing care they gave. Secondly, yes, in verse 11, he comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. Two important things for us: nursing care and fatherly care. Also, was as a nurse. The second phase for the believers here is that we can say in this second chapter the baby is nursed. What nursing care is needed, you mothers know. What care is needed? Child is born. And one is born again. Into our midst. Oh, we need the nurses. Nursing care. And the fatherly care. The heart of a father. Speak to the mothers, nurses. Here we have the fathers. it's something for a father and mother both. When you get twins, as we experienced, something for a father and mother both. They would take care. A nurse care. Comforting. Cherished children. Newborn babies. We see, born, spiritually now. Lovely to see newborn souls. And care for them. Lead them on. Don't expect that they know everything. Why not? It will take us to learn some truths. The Germans would say in a motto, we get so soon old and so late, smart. So long to learn some things. Well, their desires, the love affection for the newborn babies in Christ, come nursing them, and the fatherly care, you know, the father's heart. Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, you have many teachers. We need fathers in Christ, don't we? Care. And also sisters come in here as well, taking a motherly interest. Fatherly care. Comforting. Responsibilities. But helping them along in the Christian life. I think we forget when we are truly saved. Another West Indian brother in New York City many years ago, he's gone to be with the Lord since. We were talking to the assembly for the evening, Lord's evening meeting. Along the way he said, I feel I should be a link, younger brethren and the older brethren. Son in college, contact with the young. He was enough to appreciate the older brethren. And that was a good desire that he had. Such will bridge the gap. Talk about a generation gap. Well, we can fill it in. And an interest. Those who are young were older. It's the gap, the link. This was a good exercise for this dear brother. He was helpful. Is there the need for teaching and exhortation, but comforting? Face problems, and today more problems than ever. We're our estimation, we must say, generation have to face many things today that we didn't have to face when we were has increased. Around. But there's need of comfort. Some may be saying out of the family with no other unbelievers. We can go home to Christian families. We do not know such. In fact, all need comfort. Give your comfort. How to give it. Others, by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. He says in the Corinthians, that God allows trials and things, that we may know God's comfort and really comfort us as well. And there's the exhortation and the charge and so on, to walk worthy of the Lord who's called. So we see in this second chapter the apostle doing the work of the nurse and the father, and the baby is nursed and cared. And so on to the third chapter, we're going to see progress in this newborn baby. The line of the coming of the Lord, we see how it is mentioned here. In verse 19 of this second chapter, he says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. See how the Lord's coming here and connect with the soul winner, as it were. Here, souls in Christ that have been won for the Lord through his ministering the gospel. Again, and he thinks about the Lord's coming. He says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? are not even in the presence of our Lord at His coming. He brings in here that at the coming of the Lord, who have been won for Christ, sheep, as we have in Psalms, brings with it. We are our joy and crown, our crown of rejoicing. So it's all of the soul in its crown. There are many crowns, you know, in Scripture. Here's one of them is linked up with the coming of the Lord. Go on in the third chapter, and the heart of the apostle comes out more and more for these dear Thessalonians. In verse 2, in verse 1, he couldn't forbear. Wanted to hear how they were getting on. And so intimately, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Moved by these afflictions, they suffered. He was concerned about them. Oh, how he yearned over these young believers. He rejoiced, verse 6, when Timothy came and brought good tidings of your faith and love, that your good remembrance of us all is greatly desiring to see you, or see us, as we also to see you. And we're comforted over you, comforted in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast. Here's the thought of the baby growing up and able to stand. That is in the family. It comes along. To be cradled, and then pretty soon it can stand up on his own feet. It's a thought of joy and rejoicing. Now he's out here. He says, we live if he stand fast in the Lord. That they were standing amidst affliction. We love to see the progress of young believers taking a stand for the Lord, standing up at home. Work, wherever it may be, and we would encourage them. How we encourage the little one to stand. And so, speaking of standing, and he says in 9, what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes, before our God, night and day praying exceedingly. There's the joy. It is so natural. Wrath, the joy, and the new roots in the family. And as we see the growth, nursing, and then standing, and we're going to see the progress in the fourth chapter. Follow the Lord's coming. Verse 12, that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you. To abound in love toward another. Now verse 30, the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There's a reference to the coming of the Lord again. And he links it up with these believers, that they will be established unblameable in holiness. Our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. This is the manifestation. It's out to souls today, you know, is coming with all his saints. Come with all his saints unless he first comes for his saints. In the fourth chapter. You know, today and in the past, have difficulty with this. We speak about the coming of the Lord, the rapture. They write me from Africa, some places, to get our literature. How can well, we come, as we have it here, he's going to come with his saints, but explains in the fourth chapter how he first comes for his saints. We call the Epiphany, catching away, and or said the perusing. And then his appearing in the Gospels, he will come in power and great glory. Manifestation. And when he comes, as such, he will bring his saints with him. Tells us of Enoch's prophecy. Oh, the Lord come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. 14. For the Lord first gave this blessed hope to his disciples. Kingdom, he gave them the blessed hope of being in the Father's house before the king. Place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Father's house are many places below. And here in the church, this is put down. But it's important to see here with all saints, which is different than what he's going to tell us in the fourth chapter. Leaving that line there and picking it up in the fourth chapter. And we see in verse 1 of the fourth chapter, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. It was in such a natural, simple line, the babies learned to stand in the third chapter. And when the baby can stand, we begin to encourage him to walk. Walk. And so is growing up and is walking here. And there are two aspects of walk. Here he says, how you ought to walk and to please God. For God. Walkingness of himself. Like Abraham. God said to Abraham, walk before me. And be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. Has to do with God. Our Lord is. Then verse 12, he says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. Here is walking before those who are outside. As a witness, testimony. Walking before men. We can't walk before men until we learn how to walk before God. The individual did. As we have about Enoch, he walked with God. 300. God just took it. And Enoch walked with God. And then wisely, the Christian. And it's the walk that speaks, doesn't it? Say, people have to say what you are. Speak so loud, I can't hear what you say. Saying that their testimony contrary, not speaking contrary to what we profess in the mouth. When there's look up, something must have happened. I read on Calvary some years ago. A certain man was converted. Farmer or city person had heard this. He said, wait, I'll go and see. And measured the wood pile that they just delivered. It's a ford of wood he brought. He had witness that he cheated before. So wood, as we speak America, days past, and coming back to that now again. So he said, I'll see. It went out. Yes, it's a full cart. Must be there. And that's the people to walk. To walk honestly for them that are without. And we have this verses here to tell us about what is the will of God, your sanctification, to be set apart, and know how to possess your vessel, pleasing God, so on. Hence this world is called for today all the more, more than ever. We are Christians. It speaks about the line of teaching as to the Lord's coming. Says verses that are so familiar to us, and yet I don't think too familiar. You're telling us about our blessed hope. So he says the verse, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. The Thessalonians had been taught to look for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts, we find that the others said Paul is preaching another king. Even Jesus, he was preaching that he was coming instead of his kingdom. They were sorrowing about those who died, the believers, as though they would miss out on the kingdom. They didn't know. So he's giving instruction here now, not to sorrow as others who have no hope. Have the blessing. Here, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's at the end of the third chapter. When he comes, in this manifestation, he's going to bring the believer with him. How it's going to be. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede, more properly, them which are asleep. We would be living when the Lord would come, and he'd come tonight, and he can, wouldn't miss on it. So he said, the Lord himself descend from heaven. Shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It doesn't say all the dead are going to rise, as was commonly thought in years past, some still thinking, a general resurrection. No. When the Lord comes here, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we which are and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. If there's one word I like, it's that word together. We're all going up together. Now to God go home one by one. The earthly remains. The spirit and soul is with the Lord. When the dead in Christ are going to be raised, coming with the Lord, already with him there, and in the air, those bodies raised, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds. The word "be" is not properly here, caught up in clouds. I don't think people think there'll be a cloud of believers from Newcastle, there'll be a cloud of believers from your next town, and everywhere, in Wisconsin too, where I live. And in the towns, clouds. Caught up in clouds. The Lord in the air. Same. The all nations. His manifestation. This is what we often call the rapture, the catching away of the believer. The Lord is all. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And how wonderful it is, the Lord himself. Of the archangel, the trump of God, not going to entrust this great way to any archangel. We have mentioned Michael, the prince that stands for the people of Israel. Look at that. Oh, the Lord himself is going to come. Right through the citadel of Satan, out of the air. He's defeated Satan at the cross. risen from the dead. Oh yes, we have glorious hope. Salvation is going to come and bring us into the glory. He'll not be in us behind. He's there now. He's going to come for us. This is the hope that cheers the believer. And you know, the 18th verse says, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." And especially we need comfort. And these given words of comfort, nothing better, is there? Lay away the remains of loved ones. You say, it's just kill them. This is the glorious hope. And so here's the coming of the Lord in this connection. It goes on to say, "In the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Ye yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep with others, but let us watch and be sober." And so on. Here we live as a thief in the night. Well, believe not looking for the Lord as a thief. He's our a love. Whose love? A thief in the night. There are two things about the coming of a thief. He comes unexpected and unwelcome. You don't thief. You don't. He comes unexpected and unwelcome. And so the coming of the Lord in power and great glory, his manifestation to this world will be unwelcome and unexpected. The sudden judgment. I believe we need to do today. The world has heard the gospel of God's grace for over 1900 years. Christendom, especially, giving gospel heart, going on and so on. Creation, not owned as the creator. So called Christian. The problem in the world today, man is helpless to deal with evil. And evil runs rampant. The Lord be judgment. And deals, you know. But now here for the believer, he says, "But brethren, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're children and children. How wonderful. The only one in the world that know what's coming are the believers who believe the Bible. We have the perfect of Scripture. Blind. And children of the day. So he says, not to sleep, let's watch and be sober. Picking up our line of the newborn babe in chapter 1. Who has been nursed and cared for in chapter 2, has learned to stand in chapter 3, has learned to walk before God and the world in chapter 4. Let us who are of the day were putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. That sounds like a soldier, doesn't it? To put on the helmet. To put on the breastplate of love, the helmet of the hope of salvation. We have the full of Ephesians. Here's part of it, this wonderful triplet again of faith, love, and hope. Trials of Satan are heaven. For God, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this has reference also to the day of wrath that's coming upon this world. To come, not only the the great white and eternal punishment, about wrath. The wrath of God in Revelation. That's what's lying ahead. Well, we're not appointed. But obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And this salvation is not just the knowledge of our sins forgiven. Salvation is deliverance. And the full, not only be delivered from the penalty of our sins, or the power of sin now, but from the very presence of sin. To be saved, not only souls, but our bodies as well. Redeemed from this fallen creation. Full salvation at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we are appointed to. He died. But whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you. Oh, and encourage this dear apostle to this newborn assembly and believe so much for us in simplicity and yet in wonder about coming of the Lord mentioned again. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, your soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, will also do it. His faith. Well, that's the run through this wonderful epistle to the Thessalonians. You might encourage us. Care for the unbelievers. It might be comforting. Certainly, as we're all getting older, we like to see them coming along. Energy and life, and it is our privilege to help them face the evil day.